Brad, good morning.
Hi, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me.
So under the current Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act of 1999, how are endangered animals protected?
So there are a couple of stages that can amount to protection, but as you've highlighted, don't always realise protection. So the two main steps that I'm guessing your audience might be familiar with is the process of listing species. So species that are identified as being under threat or approaching extinction even can be listed on a list of protected species. That then leads to a requirement to look into how it is we can make sure that they don't become more threatened or worse, become extinct. So it's the first process. The second process is there's a requirement when projects are being proposed, so mines, for instance, or a land clearing for agricultural or residential development, there's a requirement to consider whether those projects should proceed if they're going to have an impact on those species. And the effect of these laws has been really quite minimal. Most projects that have been assessed as having likely impacts on species that are threatened, endangered, or verging extinction still proceed. And those documents that are produced that outline how species can be protected aren't realising any protection at all.
In 2006, the government made changes to the law, which meant it was up to the minister's discretion to decide which animals would be chosen to have a plan towards recovery. This sounds bizarre to me. I mean, politicians, you can say they stick their noses into a lot of places they don't belong, but surely it should be up to the experts as opposed to a government minister. Why is this?
So under the EPBC Act, every stage that leads to some sort of protection or that might impose some sort of requirement on anyone to do anything rests with the discretion of the minister. The Act has an immense amount of discretion invested in the minister, and although there have been proposals since 2006 to limit that discretion or to require the minister to have regard to, sorry, not have regard to, but actually follow recommendations of independent experts, there's no avenue for that. Where the community or experts can be involved is in nominating species, and there are panels of experts that assess those recommendations from the community or from scientists. But ultimately, it's up to the minister to decide whether or not to put species or in other circumstances, particular places that might be important habitat on a protected list. So for instance, I was in Tasmania this early this week looking at the Tarkine, and that's a landscape that a group of independent scientists said should be protected under the Act. But the minister decided not to do that, despite the fact that there was evidence suggesting that there was species in there, including the Tasmanian devil, that really do need that landscape to be protected.
And currently, only about 40% of wildlife on the endangered list have a recovery plan. So surely this means we're just waiting for the other 60% to die out, really?
Well, yeah. We've acknowledged, so this is both Commonwealth and particularly in Victoria, so you may have seen that there was a State of Environment report that was released yesterday, that there's an acknowledgement that we're not doing enough. Once we get species listed, we're not then doing enough to ensure that there's a plan for their recovery. And this in Victoria has been known for over a decade. So the Auditor General in Victoria in 2009 did a report that said that species recovery plans are not being done, and we're listing species on the protection list at a faster rate than we are preparing species recovery plans. So we're getting more species and proportionally fewer recovery plans. And without those plans, there's no real guidance for decision makers about what's important for the protection of those species or what kind of developments shouldn't proceed in order to protect those species.
And just, I believe, hearkening back to that same report, Brad, this report found that none of the current policy was able to be deemed good. That is a pretty stark sort of rating system when you can't call a single aspect of the current policy we're looking at good on any real level. Where has the failings been? I mean, it seems if there's failings on every level, where have the failings begun?
Yeah, so I think in Victoria, there are some redeemable features. I think it's important, for instance, that community members can have a way to contribute to species going on that list. So in Victoria and in the Commonwealth, if concerned about a species, you're able to nominate that species for consideration as to whether it should go on a protection list. And then there is a scientific panel in Victoria, as there is in the Commonwealth, that assesses whether or not that species is indeed worthy of protection. That is either endangered or threatened in some sort of way. So they're not perfect roles, but they're roles that actually offer community involvement and a level of scientific rigor, I should say. But it's thereafter, from that point onwards, that there's nothing good in our laws. So once a species is listed, all that requires is that there be an action plan for its recovery. And you've already shown and demonstrated to the listeners that that doesn't happen. In most cases, there isn't a recovery plan. And you might imagine, because the laws that were the original model for species protection laws were American laws. And those American laws say that if you're going to do something that affects or harms or kills a species on a protected list, you just can't do it. We don't have those laws in Australia. So there's nothing in our legal landscape that says that you can't harm a protected species. All it says is you need to consider whether or not your project is going to have an impact, and then invariably you proceed with your project. So there's nothing that actually protects species once they're on a protected list, and that is a great anomaly.
Well, Brad, do appreciate your time. This is pretty shocking stuff, pretty unreliable stuff, but really do appreciate you unpacking it for us a little bit, and hopefully see some changes in the near future.
Well, just a quick shout-out to your listeners. Next year, there's going to be a review of the EPBC Act. So they should write to the minister at that time. Let them know what they think.
Fantastic. We'll have to follow that one up. Brad, thanks very much, mate.
Bye, Sean.